is more than enough. The El Shaddai, I am that I am, is his name. Let's give him worship this morning. Thank him because he's more than enough. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Hallelujah. Give him all the praise. Amen. Yeah, welcome to church. Very quickly, before I go into the message, I just want to read to us Genesis chapter 26. I'll read from verse 1. I've started this thing over 2 weeks, and I'm not sure that I have dealt with it. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to verse 6. And I read. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you for you and your descendants. I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That's what the Bible records. Amen. In verse 2, the Bible says, "Then the Lord appeared to him, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands.'" Hallelujah. The syndrome that we experience in our land right now has always been, okay, it's just that it is at an amplified rate right now, okay? But God is talking to someone. I don't know who the person is. He says, he said to him that you should dwell in a land of which I shall tell you. Hallelujah. You are not just going to dwell in any land. You are going to dwell in the land of which the Lord shall tell you. Amen. You are not going to do anything based on your own thinking or your own permutation. It has to be according to what the Lord shows you. Amen. Your land can be any land, and it can just be where you are. Hallelujah. But what is important is that you obey what God tells you. In verse 5, okay, so God continued to tell him that, "I will bless you, I will make your descendant great." And then in verse 5, it says, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Hallelujah. And verse 6 now says that, you know what? So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the Lord was speaking to him, okay, in Gerar. If you look at verse 1, it says, "There was famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines, in Gerar." So, Bible says, after all said and done, after God has spoken to him, and I'm sure God will have told him, stay in this land, and he stayed there, and that's where God found him, and then that's where he began to prosper and became very prosperous. Hallelujah. If it's to prosper that you are looking for, stay with the instructions like Abraham did. Verse 5 says that, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." They are very, very important. Amen. because the grass looks greener on the other side, doesn't mean that it's greener on the other side. Hallelujah. Something looks like, it's not the same land. Something is. You understand what I'm saying? Something looks like. So if you look at my phone, for instance, my phone looks dark. If you look at it from the side, but if you look at it directly, it has a lot of light. So if you look at my phone from the side, you just be like, why does this man want to kill himself? And then if you look at it directly, you will see that I am not killing myself. It's very bright. What I have done is that I have done a privacy protection so that people like you that are looking from the side cannot see my phone. So if you look at my phone from the side, I say, this man has a poor phone. That you'll be making a mistake. Amen. And God doesn't want us to make a mistake. He's saying, listen. Listen to what I have told you. Listen to my instructions. If you are saying that God has Abraham's blessings are yours, he's saying that Abraham obeyed. Hallelujah. And that's why he looked for, because Abraham obeyed, that's why he looked to get Isaac's attention and tell him that all these promises I made for Abraham, it's through you that these things will come to pass. These are the things that he did. Amen. You can calculate that if you begin to sell cement, because people are building now, you make money. Is that what God is telling you to do? Amen. Be careful. I don't know what it is for, but be careful. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to look at what I've titled, Your Company Matters. Not your business, your company. The company that you keep, it matters. Hallelujah. So when I was growing up, when I was in JS1, we had three sets of people in my class. And I think usually you have those three sets anywhere. You have the happening guys, and you have the very studious ones, and you have the guys that are just okay. They're just there, neither to the right nor to the left. But you have the happening ones. Those ones are to the, which one is better, the left or the right? Which one is better, the left or the right? Because you use right. So if I ask somebody else which one is better, the left or the right, he will tell you it's the left. Hallelujah. But if you take reference to, so you have to take a reference, okay? So let's say the guys on the left are the bad guys, the happening guys. Yeah, the happening guys. I think there are four sets. So the happening guys. And then the studios ones. Those ones are studios. I don't know why. They are always very few. Anywhere, even when it comes to the Bible, you say people that are studying the Bible, they are always limited in number. I don't know why. Maybe the teachers can help us. Hallelujah. They are always limited. If you have 50 children in a class, probably 5 are very studious. And then another five are the backbenchers. They are the ones that cause trouble. They won't read. They won't listen. And then they won't allow the people that want to listen. Amen. And then the wannabes, the ones that are happening, the wannabes, they are not like the bad guys. They are not like the good guys. But they just want to be, they just want to be understood that we are around. So when I was growing up, I would never sit at the back because I can't go home and tell my mother that I'm at the back. That's trouble. So I had to be with the happening ones. So I remember that day when we go to school, and one guy said, guys, so as we are now, he called us. I can remember he called us as well now. We are not going to be smiling so that they won't think that we are weak. Imagine, no smile because we think that we are weak. So when you are moving, don't smile. Guys, don't smile. Just be hard. Let your face be hard. And so that's how we moved. And so when you see us, we don't smile. We just look at you. I'm like, it was difficult, but you have to look at that because you have to belong to them. And then we were the same set of people that So those guys, those backbenchers, you will never see them come and play Mabu's. You know those games that we play, Mabu, Abiro Top, Okoto. They won't come. So all of us that are happening, we will, at break time, we will dig holes in front of the class in the soil. We'll bring out our Mabu's. I will start playing Mabu's. Those happening guys, just look at you. The back bench, I don't know these guys. They're the ones that will go and go and sit anywhere and do all sorts. But we, when we see those happening, those backbenchers, we have our face will be hard so that they will know that you can't try us. Don't try us. The company you keep matters. So for a long time, and that's why you see that I don't smile often. I just got used to it. It's not that I was born like that too. I just got used to it. So sometimes I just sit down and just say, why is your face so hard? It's because the people I grew up with were like that. We go to SS3. Amen. The only thing I didn't do was that I was not bouncing. You know bouncing. You know how to bounce. I don't bounce. If you see the people that bounce, you know. I don't bounce. And I dare not bounce because already the calves of my leg were fully developed. So I know that if I bounce, it become harder. So I just didn't bounce. But that was how we are. So, and everything we do, you have to do things to conform to that setting that you are in. If you do something now, they will come and tell you, guy, why are you doing that now? What's that? No, you can't be doing that too. If you want to be doing... that's what children do in school. And that, they still do it up to today. They just have different grades. So the company you keep matters. Now, those ones that are too studious. So what happens that for that category of people that I belong to, if you want to learn, you can go forward. You can meet those guys that are very studious. They won't consider you as bad. They just know that you're in your own space. These guys are just playful. They are this, they are that. You know all those things. They're not studying. So they will teach you. But we don't go to the ones at the back because it's trouble. I remember there was a time. So the ones at the back are the ones that will bring to school designer cigarettes. You know designer cigarettes? This is that is a bad boy. Do you know designer cigarettes? You don't know. So in those days, when they used to travel, they would bring back magazines from the airplane. So you see the designer cigarettes, like Dunhill, those kind of cigarettes. They were the ones that would come to class. They would sit by the exit door, and then so that they would strike a cigarette, smoke it, and blow the air out. But you know, there's no way. The thing will come back. And then the teacher would say, who is this? Blah, blah. And then they'd all be laughing. And they would scatter the class. The company you keep matters. So I grew up like that. And then when I got to the university, he only earned me one friend. The only one that was bold enough to say, there must be something behind this face, beyond this face that looks hard. Because one day he encountered me and he said, oh, this guy has a good heart. And so he was the only one that was bold enough. He would come, he would talk to me. Every other person that wanted to talk to me, would talk to him. I said, please help us tell your friend. His face looks hard. And then the guy would come and say, this people say your face looks hard. I said, please don't tell them. Don't tell them anything. Otherwise, it has to be like that. Let them respect. Amen. So one day, someone was complaining about my son. I said, leave him alone. He's like the father. We have to be careful with the company that we keep. It goes a long way to determine or to shape our values. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 13. And I read verse 20. It says, evil works with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Evil works with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. When you walk with wise men, you will ultimately become wise because there's good counsel around you. Now, so sometimes these things create a problem. but should not create a problem. Because I've heard people say that if you are the best man in a room, then you are in the wrong room. But I totally disagree. If you are the best man in a room, then you are in that room to influence every other person in that room. So if you are the best man in a room and you say you want to go to another room where people that are better than you are, what if those people now think that we are the best people in this room, we will leave? Who will be an influence to you? Are you getting what I'm saying? You come to your room, there are three of you, and say, I'm better than these people, I'm going to leave. I'm going to look for people that are better than me. When you get into the midst of people that are better than you, they will look and say, you are better than this guy, they are going to leave. Then who is going to be with you? At the end of the day, you just be a lone ranger. But what is important is that if you find yourself in any company of people, let your goodwill and your good heart and your wisdom come to bear. And because you are not going to always be spending 24 hours with them, you can have that time with them and another time with the people that will rub off on you. Hallelujah. So man was not created to be an island. Man was created to be a social being. You have to interact. Interact and impact the system, whatever system that you find yourself. Okay. In Proverbs 11, which is why you need to surround yourself with people that are wise. Proverbs 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs chapter 12, reading from Proverbs chapter 11, reading from verse 14. When you surround yourself with the right people, you will receive the right feedback, and when your ideas bounce off, people will be able to help you. Amen. Now, find wise people with the right counsel. In the multitude of such, there is what? There is wisdom, and there is safety, You know that there's what we call good character or bad company, and there's what we call good company. You cannot surround yourself and go for counsel in the midst of bad company. There's no safety in such. They only cause more damage. It only cause more damage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 33. It says, Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you associate with corrupt people, corrupt in the sense of not corruption that we are talking about, but company that is not good, that their disposition is not aligned with God's will, and their disposition is not aligned with God's character. If you mingle with such, he says that it will destroy or corrupt good habits. And that's why when we went to school in those days, it was important for our parents to know the kind of friends that we have. So if your friend cannot come home, there's a problem. And it's amazing, and it's interesting. Every household then felt that they were a good household. So where did the bad ones come from? It just occurred to me now. So where did the bad ones, the ones that we call bad, where did they come from? Because every household we say, we are good, Abby. Then we go to school, we meet some funny characters, but they came from a household. That's why it's important for the head of the house and everybody in that house to know God. Bible says, train your child in the way that he should go. And when he's grown, he will not depart from it. Because training becomes part and parcel of you. There was this basketballer, I'm trying to remember if it's Jordan, Michael Jordan or whatever. He was very skilled with the ball, basketball. And he was the best in his team. But Michael Jordan did not leave that team to go and look for a team that had somebody better than him. You know what he did? When he gets to the court, he makes sure that for every team member, he tries to improve them. So he will look at Mr. Saji saying, Mr. Saji, this way you are stepping. This is how to do the stepping. And then he deals with you. Then he goes to another person. He deals with that person. And then he built up that team so that it wasn't that he was a lone star, but that which he had, he was impacting. That's an example of a good character. Some people like everybody hailing them that they're the best. Those are the people, kind of people you should run away from. People that like everybody hailing them and they're not impacting people. That's not a good thing. So just as we're studying the Bible or we're studying scriptures. And some people just want to be heard all the time. There's nothing to shine about the scripture except your life is conforming to it. So your life will speak volumes of what you are reading or what you are studying. So what you are doing will be the one that will influence other people. When we stay in bad company, so if you put a bar of soap on a leaf, at the time you are putting it, you can separate the two of them. Leave them for a week. You cannot tell the leaf from the soap. When you pick up the soap, you just see a patch there because it will infuse. Well, chemical reaction, there's a bonding, but that's what happens when you have bad character and good character. After a while, you are unable to separate them. Next, in Proverbs chapter 27, and this is very important. Proverbs 27, and I'm going to read verse 17. Says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Note that the Bible has not said that as iron sharpens iron, so a good man sharpens the character of his friend. No. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So whichever side you want to flip it, if you mingle with a bad company, it will change or sharpen your countenance. It will always pull you towards its own direction. That's why you need to be careful. If you want to remain sharp, you must surround yourself with people that understand God and they are true friends of God. Amen. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and a number of men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Ananias, the high priest, Sapphias, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So you know what they did? You know what they did? In Acts chapter 3, when they go out at the gate, beautiful, called beautiful, they raised that man on his feet, the man that was crippled by the gate, that they said to gold and silver, we have none. So Peter and John, that's what they did. And that's why they caught them. So in verse 7, it says, they set them in their midst, and they asked, by what power have you done what you did? Then Peter, verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. Verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Okay? So there is an appearance for, it tells me that there's an appearance and a way an uneducated and an untrained man will present himself, that you can easily tell that this guy is not trained. But he says they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And then they realized that they had been with Jesus. So what happened? They looked at them and said, these guys, they are not educated. They are not trained. But what they were dishing out by the help of the Holy Spirit was what caught their attention. And he said, you know what? They realized that they had been with Jesus. It made a difference. Amen. The company, so Peter and John and everybody were in the company of Jesus all the while before the death and resurrection of Christ. And before his ascension. So they had imbibed a lot from him, which was superimposed on whatever character or whatever conduct that they had before. They were untrained. They were not educated. Okay? But they were telling spiritual things and dealing with it with precision. The company that you keep matters a lot. So for the kind of things that I do in my house, okay, If you speak with anybody in my household, you will know that how come this person is the one saying this? So I was a time I had an issue with my inverter. I looked at it, looked at it, I said, look, I need a technician. But everything about the connection, everything, I'd explained to the people at home. So when the man came that will fix the inverter, and he began to fidget, one of the people in my household went to him and said, Ogano, from here to here to here, and then this one, whoop. The man stopped. He said, how come you know this? He was a technician. And then the person was just laughing. He said, this is how it works. And that's how it's going to be. From the mouth of whom he was hearing it, he was like, why? How come? You know, there's certain things you don't expect certain people to say. And then when he followed that instruction, so when I called him, he said, yes, the person you left at home with me understands. Because I've been able to rub off that knowledge on that person. He says, when they realized that they have been with Jesus, okay, every other perception about those people changed. So that they were raising one man up to walk became no longer an issue for them. He says that, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That's what the Bible says. Meaning that you don't have to be an authority in every field of life. All you need to do is be a friend to someone that's an authority in a field. And you are protected in that field. Amen. You don't necessarily have to know everything about it, but you will not be a novice. You'll be able to add one and one and one and one together. You know, so when I was serving, I hope this one is not against, when I was serving, I was in one of the paramilitary teams, not the NYSC. I was in the paramilitary team in NYSC. And when I was in that team, there was a way that you will greet your superiors. So they taught us, because we had to blend with that paramilitary team. And there's a way you have to greet your superiors. So when you come across your superiors in and out of duty, there's a way you greet. So I know. So when I am stopped by any of those parliamentary men on the road and I greet, I know, and they know that this is one of us. Because if I greet them that way, they must respond. And once they respond, and that's why I'm not going to tell you, so that once they respond, everything, does they go? Because he's one of us. I'm saying a little knowledge here and a little knowledge there matters a lot. Every other thing they wanted to hold these people for, once they understood that they had been with Christ, he said they could do nothing against it. When you are partnering or forming a company or an alliance with people, and there is no Christ in the midst of that alliance, be wary of it. The Bible says only God alone does wondrous things. Abi? Only Him alone. That's in Psalm 72. It says, and verse 18, it says, praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. There is not a good character outside the influence of God. Don't be deceived. This person is good, this person is good, and he does not know God. Be wary. Amen. He has not just shown you the very side that will make you fear. But if someone is not speaking God and you say it's good, there's a problem. Even you, that you know God, he says you are doing all the good things you are doing It's from the will of God. That's why no man can attribute to say that it's good. Except there's God in what he's doing. Amen. Let the company you keep reflect that you are serving God. And so it does not mean that, I don't get it wrong. So there's a difference between your acquaintance and your friend. Because oftentimes you make a mistake. Everybody is my friend. It's not possible. Because friendship is deeper. It goes beyond the surface. Abi, that young man that sells the man in front of, exactly, what's his name? The man that sells car things and all that, he's not my friend. He's an acquaintance. I see him every time we drive in here, he greets. Does that make him my friend? No. If you have not sat down, if you have not been sitting down with somebody on a continual basis, and you are exchanging ideas, thoughts, okay, and beliefs, and relationships, and you are doing things together, you cannot ascribe to that friend, that person, the position of a friend. Everybody that you went to school with, they are not your friends. I've told you now, I went to school for eight years. And I came out of school with only one friend. Fantastic. Interesting. Why? Because even when I was in school, we had a relationship. He knew my roots. I knew his roots. We lived together. We ate together. We did practically everything together. And as young boys, we were like, you know what? When we get married, my wife is your wife. Your wife is my wife. But when we got married, I said, okay, my wife is my wife. And it was the first person that got married. He said, Moscow, my wife is my wife. I said, yes, I know. But you know the good thing? That if our spouses think there's any storm anywhere, they will both call the other person. So if his spouse says there's a problem, not even with her husband, though, generally, she'll carry her phone. She must go. And the same for them. They will call that person you call your friend. Because you have an impact, and they have an impact. Your acquaintances are not your friends. And because you have friends, doesn't mean you don't have acquaintances. You have a commitment to your friends. And that's why oftentimes, all the time, self, you don't marry people, a person that's not your friend. If you marry your acquaintance, there's going to be trouble. Abi? So you just see somebody that's passing by in your office, I'll marry this one. And you don't bother to do any courtship, then you are married. There's trouble. There's going to be trouble. Sonny's smiling. Some people complain, saying, this man is being controlled by his wife. Who is not being controlled by his wife? There's nobody. Let's not deceive ourselves. Who is not being controlled by his children? There's nobody. You know what I mean? For everything that you do, you take them into consideration. That's what control is. But the only thing that I will beg everybody is don't throw it in people's face that you have a wife or you have a husband. Let me go and talk to my wife. I'm coming. No, that's not wise. If ordinarily I speak to you and you tell me I'm going to think about it, me, because of the position I am, I will know that you ought to always discuss because everything you do is not yours. Well, you don't go, Mr. Sajid, wait, let me talk to my wife. Because he's going to get offended. And then I come back and say, my wife said, ha. It's very important how you throw your words and how you make them. And people say that, I don't know how to say it in English. Maybe you help me. In Tagbalagba, Vinteko, Abeweloa. Don't worry. You know Eko. Which one is Eko now? Yeah, you know. So my people say that what the elders used to eat agidi is under the leaf. Is eating. Now, if you know that when you speak with your spouse, he will open your head. Let it be under the leaf. Let it be under the leaf. Nobody would say, what are you? No. Do what you need to do. That's your friend. So my friend and I, anything we do, we'll always do similar things. But we don't do the same thing. We don't. We never went to the same church when we were in school. It was in Kaksa. You know Kaksa? CAC Student Association. Me, I was in Hip Hop Ray. You know the Hip Hop Ray? Now you talk up. I was in Hip Hop. It was in Kaksa. So the Kaksa people, they would tie scarf, they would do everything. They were very pious, they were very holy. Me, we were the Jamboree, we were the ones that we wear Timberland and everything. And then we'd be jumping, hey, Jesus, pop up Jesus, brother Jesus. Hey, God. These ones would be like, oh, Father, we thank you, Bishop. He's here. Me, I'm here. One day, one guy came to us. He said, the two of you, this alliance does not look right. But the truth of the fact was that he was standing rooted in Christ. And I was here, I was standing rooted in Christ. We just had different. We are the ones that made them denominations. But he did not find, in the whole of that thing, he did not find somebody to call his friend, though. He found a friend here, on this side. And me, when I was there, I was like, guys, this noise is too much. Even when you shout now, sometimes I'm like, what's wrong? But I know it's okay. I'm that conservative on the inside. Okay? If you don't believe it, believe it. I'm very conservative on the inside. So when they shout, I'm okay, let them be shouting. But I look at the substance, the core, I'm fine. So the two of us are different. When it's time for exam, my friend will say, there's an exam prayer meeting. Let's go for exam prayer meeting. I say, guy, what are we going to pray for? We have not finished reading. Let us read first. Then we'll go and pray. I say, no. There's an exam prayer meeting at 12, blah, blah. I say, okay, guy, you know what we are going to do? Let's go to class. When we finish reading, then we'll go at 12. No. He wants to sleep. He likes sleeping. Please be careful. He likes sleeping. He was my friend. He likes sleeping. When he's sleeping, me, I'm reading. Because we have two different capacities. When he's sleeping, I'm reading. When he's awake, I'm sleeping. So, and he said, let's go to class. He won't go. He will be sleeping. He say, after prayer meeting, we'll go to class. And I know his prayer meeting is 12. So I'll start reading by 7. When he's 10, I rest. I wake him up. We'll now go to prayer meeting. Then we'll pray. I'll be with prayer meeting in him. So I'm on this side now. That means that we are in the very holy side. I will pray. 1 hour. It's 1 o'clock. Then 1 o'clock. Go to class. He says it's time for him to read. We'll go to class. Then when he's going to class, everything so that anything that he wears, everything so that mosquito will not bite him, will be in class. When he gets to class, he starts reading. I say, okay, me, I'm sleeping. So in that same class, no, I won't go. That same class, I'll make myself comfortable and sleep. When he has a problem, which is what he's reading, he'll wake me. He say, guy, come and explain this to me. I say, guy, I don't understand it, but this one, do it. I'll go back to sleep. If he needs me, he'll wake me again. My own lifestyle did not change his lifestyle, but the center of it was that we both knew God. So much so that when the day he saw that, we were is not he's not looking okay. His behavior is not looking okay. He sat down. He went to look for my sister. He said, there's a problem. I think there's something wrong with me. When he didn't get enough answer, he left Ife and went to my mother in Ibadan. I went to my mother and said, there's something wrong. Please come. And the following day, I saw my mother in school. That's the person you call a friend. We disagree. We have differences. But that center is always there. It's God. So when we were growing up, because, of course, it's on the conservative side. Me, I'm on the hip-hop ray. He said, so this kind of car that grandpa is riding, we decided that we are not going to buy this kind of cars. It's not within our space of conservativeness. Then one day I went to his house. I saw him, he has a Prado Jeep. I didn't even say anything at first. I just smiled. By that time, me, I had a RAV4. So that's what I said. So he now came to say, I just have to buy this. The road that we are passing through is bad, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, you don't want me an explanation, no. Because when you are making those decisions that time, it was out of the little knowledge you had. But it was not binding on me. That's why you have to understand life yourself. And take the good things of life. So he has a Prado Jeep. But because of that, I didn't go and buy a Prado Jeep. I can see that I'm staying with my salon, JJ. But the thing is, when it comes to the issues of life, we cannot be found wanting. He's not going to tell me, change the books. And I'm not going to tell him, change the books. Because when we met, it was based on God's standard. And when we both needed help, when we were growing up, we always looked at God. So we had a friend, when we were in part two, we were running the same courses. In fact, we were in the same class. And then three of us were sharing one textbook. That's why I'm telling you that all these problems all of us are facing. It has been since three of us were sharing one textbook. There was no money to buy a textbook. Abi? And then one ran away with the textbook. And left myself and him without a textbook. So we'll go to class, we'll listen to the lecturer, then we'll come back. I said, guy, give us the textbook. Say, it's coming. Then the guy will go to class with the textbook. We'll read. Myself and my friend. And we needed the textbook to explain something. Then exam came. My friend was fretting. There's no textbook. I said, guy, these notes that the man has given us, let us read. God will show up. So we read the notes. We ask ourselves questions, task ourselves. And then exam is tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. That man that ran away with textbook now brought the textbook at 10 p.m. the day before 8 a.m. exam, that guys, take the textbook. My friend jumped at it, wanted to open and said, if you open that textbook, you will not pass. That's what I told him, you won't pass. I said, where do you want to start from at 10 p.m.? Let's just look unto God. The guy looked at me and said, yeah. I said, yes, that's what we are going to do. I said, okay. He says, because you understand these things better than me. I said, no, if you open it, you are going to get confused. So when we finished writing the exam, we came out, we were smiling. Everything that we had in the exam was our notebook. The same notebook that God said, when the exam result came out, the one that ran with textbook had 80A, me 75A, my friend 72A, everything 4 points. Imagine if he had taken that textbook. At that time, you would have lost focus. When When iron sharpens iron, you move each other in the right way. When we are clustered together, you know, when people do business, everybody, when you go to the market, say you are looking for people that are selling shoes, everybody will be here. You are not all friends. You are not all friends. Those are not the people that you know and tell your business secrets to. Or you're going to sit down and say, hey, so how do I make my sales better? How? People that ordinarily, if you park in front of their shop, they will tell you that you are blocking customers from coming to their shop. How much more the people that you are selling the same thing? You now say he's your friend. Except you are not in the same market too. Maybe one is in Balogun, the other one is in which one? Butemeta. They can. But be careful. By reason of the fact that Peter and John were with Christ, it made a difference in their utterances and the way that people perceived them. If you say you cannot find a friend, internalize it. The Holy Spirit is your friend. The Bible records here that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, if you cannot be friends with Christ, you cannot be friends with anybody. Somebody loves you. He has sacrificed for you. And you're not his friend. How will you be friends with somebody that... You see, when things happen in families, I just laugh. So somebody dies and his siblings take over whatever he has. You just laugh. Because when he was alive, they dare not come near his things. So how come he's dead? If you think it's not happening, it's happening. I've seen it. Somebody died and his siblings took over all his property. His children are going to school on the benevolence of his friends. But his wife and the children do not know that it's his friends that are paying. So the parents also go to school and say, you know what? Please don't tell this woman. Our friend was a very good man to us. This that is happening in his family, we don't understand. But as long as these children are alive and they are in this school, please send their school bills to us. And they are paying. And up to today, the woman and her children thinks that it is a school that is giving them that access to education. When you are God-fearing, you look for God-fearing people to surround you. Don't do things anyhow. I read to you Genesis, okay? When the Bible says that Abraham, my commandments, my statutes, everything he kept and he obeyed. And that's why God went to look for Isaac. That guy, come. You have to enjoy this thing because I have to do it for Abraham. The company you keep matters a lot. If you are keeping wrong company, see, in the book of Proverbs, the people that sleep, the people that drink, the people that womanize are not people that you should keep company with. You know, some people say, what's there in drinking? It's because you have not drunk. Oh. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a step. That's when you will now go to party. You will now carry red cup. And you say, what's it? He says, it's just a drink. It's a lie. We know what the red cup is. Abi? And when everybody starts misbehaving, it's only the people with red cup that misbehave. You know, when they call people to dance floor, I always like it. I sit on my table. You can ask my wife. I know the time to go home when in such parties. I say, wait, let's see. When they start dancing, you see that this step and the beat is not the same. I see there's no problem in drinking. If there wasn't a problem, the Bible would have said, abstain from them. Saying even doctors drink and doctors smoke. And doctors die as well. Abi? If the Bible says don't do it, then don't do it. It's only just this once. That's where probably starts. When people lure you away from the don'ts, when people lure you to the don'ts of the Bible, they are not the people you should keep company with. When people pull you to what the Word of God says, they are the kind of people that you find spend time with to understand them more. The family is supposed to be an haven, a protection, a fortress. That's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because a believer and an unbeliever cannot give birth to a believer. There's a dilution. And unfortunately, when there is odor and fragrance, odor always prevails. You know the difference? Odor is bad smell. Fragrance is good one. So if you have a rotten egg, break it. And have good egg, break it. Which one will smell? You will not even know that good one was broken. Last week we said that be an example of the believer. Indeed, in purity, in faith, and in spiritual matters. If the homes are not holding now, it's because there's a problem with the foundation. So nowadays is when somebody married this week, and two weeks itself is a long time. 2 weeks time they are divorced. So they are married today, but next week there's a problem. Because that fusion cannot work. Today is not marriage seminar, but you have to marry your friend. And when you are marrying your friend, don't be doing bad things. Because when you get married, the other one will remind you that maybe we used to do it when we were. So imagine I tell my wife now, say, hey, this thing is 1,000 naira. Tell her that is 10,000. You want to tell her that is 10,000. Tomorrow, she too should just meant she is 5,000. I will tell my wife 50,000. That's not what will happen. That's what will happen. What you teach yourself and what you move with will come to bear. Let your life speak volumes of God that you serve. Whether you are doing business or it's just a relationship, good company, bad company corrupts good character. Let's rise. In Acts that we read, Acts chapter 4, it's inspiring to note that the boldness and confidence of the disciples was not anything about themselves. It was about the center that they were holding on to. Let your confidence and your boldness be in that you know God and you are rooted in God. Let's talk to God this morning. If for 3 years Peter and John were sitting at Jesus' feet and they were learning, then it's no wonder that he had trained them and they understood the way of the kingdom of God. As we come to fellowship and we depart to serve, let it be that it's having a root in us. And so people can come to us and be like, this is good character to hook onto. Let it be that when they come to us, they will say of a truth, these ones have been with Christ. Let it be evident, even in our responses to other people, that these ones have been with Christ. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you for your word. Thank you because you have given to us that we learn to live as you lived, and we learn to live sufficiently in the glory of Christ. Thank you, Lord, because indeed we will keep that path that you have shown to us, our lives will not remain the same again. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.